see. I know if I have it right up here and I'm talking loud, it maxes it out so it's blurry. So I got to figure out how to... I'm going to put this down right here for recording the sermon.
Chapel. It's a beautiful late summer day. I think this is officially the last weekend I could say late summer.
Yes.
Did you have to say it? I don't see too many leaves that are starting to change yet. Maybe we'll hold on to summer for a little while longer. We can all hope. I would call your attention to announcements, which are printed on the second to last page in your handout. As a reminder, we are meeting in Fellowship Hall after service today for both coffee connection and to hear information from our transitions team about the survey results. So if everybody can stay for that, that would be much appreciated. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting discussion and a chance to do a little bit of post-worship socializing. So any other announcements this morning? All right. Seeing none, I would invite you all to join in the choral call to worship, which is Seek Ye First. Stand as you are able and comfortable. And why don't we sing both verses?
All right.
Thank you.
on scripture found in Jeremiah chapter 31. That whole chapter is about God redeeming his people because God loves them with an undying love. Shout for joy to the Lord our God, who loves us with an everlasting love, as a father loves his children.
God gathers us together from the north and the south, the east and the west. From wherever we have been, he gathers us to worship.
God leads us beside quiet streams and shows us the way we should go.
We love the Lord and will worship and serve our God all our days.
Our introit hymn this morning is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, which is printed in our program. For anybody following with a red hymnal, you'll find it on page 85. None of us perfectly, that's for sure. But perfection, righteousness is the standard we must meet if we are to stand on our own accomplishments. But as Job says, but how can a mortal be righteous before God? We can't in our own righteousness, but we can because of Christ. Trust Jesus now as you confess your sins to God, because you know that in him you will be forgiven. Let us then join together in our prayer of confession.
We confess not with joy, but with sorrow, that we so often do not join with the happy chorus of praise to you. We so often do not let your love pour over us, nor through us out into the world. We have refused your victory in our lives because we think we would have to give up too much to gain life in you. We are foolish and fickle, Lord. We want your blessings without obeying the call to carry our crosses and follow Jesus. Forgive us as we struggle with your blessings. Forgive us as we choose to hear rather than follow. Give us hearts to see your love and to follow your Son, no matter the cost. It is through the grace of Jesus that we pray.
Amen. It is totally undeserved in the light of our sins, but the light of Christ burns away our sins and brings us healing and health before God. So hear and believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. God, let us share that with others so that we might be one people together.
Peace.
You too, Father.
I smile.
Peace be with you.
As a person who is excited about their faith in the Lord.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Peace be with you.
Our first lesson this morning is from the book of Job. We're starting in chapter 8 at verse 20 and concluding in chapter 9 at verse 2. I think we're all familiar with the story of Job. We don't need to spend a lot of time with that invitation. Just as a refresher, as Job has been suffering all of these great losses and afflictions, he has three of his friends who have come to visit him. And after I read this, I kind of wondered if the word friends shouldn't be in air quotes. Because I don't know that they did him a lot of favors. But the three that are coming to visit have some very interesting names, of course. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite. Okay. So we're starting with Bildad speaking to Job after Job has just been trying to justify his complaints. Bildad says, "See, God will not reject a blameless person nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more." And Job replies, "Indeed, I know that this is so. But how can a mortal be just before God?" Here ends our lesson.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word written that we've heard and that we shall hear. And we pray that your word would be spoken faithfully so that we could be your faithful and creative servants, strengthened to remain in you through what we hear and do today. Amen. We were talking about Job today, and one person said, "You know, why did all these things happen to Job? You know, why does God let Satan challenge him and everything else? It just doesn't seem right." Well, that's true. It doesn't seem right, but God is the one who is intending on growing his life in our lives. And sometimes the fertilizer that he uses to do that is stinky.
you know, and but God is good, and he wants to build his grace in all of us. The second scripture reading today is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we oftentimes talk about the fruits of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, and etc. But it's really one fruit. God wants to build our whole life up so that every part of our lives brings glory to him. So listen to the word of the Lord to the Galatian church who needed desperately every one of these fruit, that every one of this expression of God's fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I've heard it said that laughter is the best medicine. I personally prefer sleep, but I can see that laughter is pretty high on the list. I also know that laughter is very contagious. Years ago, I was driving from New York to Pittsburgh with my wife and my son and my daughter-in-law. Someone mentioned that if one person starts laughing, soon everyone else will begin to smile. And then to chuckle, and then to laugh, and then if you keep it up long enough, the crowd will soon be holding their stomachs, trying to stop laughing, and finding it very hard to do so. So, with my science background, I suggested we do an experiment. We all decided to start laughing and see where it went. Since I was driving, that was perhaps not the best suggestion, but we all survived, and we had one of the best laughs that we have had in a long time. It was amazing. People have always laughed, and laughed for a variety of reasons. Sometimes we laugh in a sarcastic, dismissive way, a way that tries to put someone down. Other times we laugh because we're uncomfortable or unbelieving, as both Abraham and Sarai laughed when God told them that they would have a child in their old age. Sometimes people laugh when bad things happen to someone else. What do you do when someone bangs their funny bone and howls in agony? You know, you laugh at them, you try to chuckle and stop, but it still happens. And sometimes people try to get us to laugh when there doesn't seem anything to laugh about, as Job's friend did when he basically told Job that God would give him laughter if Job hadn't done anything to make God angry with him. That didn't help Job, and it doesn't generally help us either, when someone tries to cheer us up like that. And sometimes actually people laugh at a joke, that something's funny. In the Bible, there are about 30 some examples of laughter, and most of them are examples of being the mocking, disbelieving, being glad it was someone else kind of laughter. But there are at least 8 examples of laughing out loud because things are going right. But only 8 in the whole Bible. It's not like there aren't humorous things in the Bible, even when laughter isn't mentioned. We can chuckle when you imagine a man trying to pick a speck of dust out of someone else's eye when he has a construction beam in his own. And then when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think we can all have a sort of wry chuckle at the truth of that. But while we think laughter is important, that it's the best sort of medicine, it's obvious from only the 30-some times that it's mentioned in the Bible that laughter isn't supposed to be one of our top priorities. Well, what is more important than laughter? I think we can find an answer to that question by looking in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those were all characteristics that the Galatians needed desperately. Paul had mentioned in his letter that they were lacking every single one of them. And we might laugh at that, at least until how we compare how we match up with that list. Now, if you just take the first two of that list, how many times are they mentioned? The first one, even. Love and loved and loving occurs in the Bible 653 times, give or take a few with the various translations. 653 times for love and 30-some for laughter. I think that shows that love is more significant in God's eyes than laughter. What is love? In our modern culture, we tend to think of love as infatuation, a crush, an overpowering attraction that blinds us, that comes quickly and is expected to leave quickly, sooner or later. You can find that kind of love in the Bible too, and it's always shown to be a lie, more akin to hate than true love. The kind of love that the Bible holds up, time and again, the vast majority of the 653 times it's mentioned, is a committed love, a decided love. I have a book, Love is a Choice. And that's the kind of love the Bible holds up, a choice that's made and kept in good times and in bad. I love what Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you. Then Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 reminds us that the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than other people, for you are the fewest of all the peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath God swore to your ancestors. God doesn't need us, and God certainly doesn't love us because we're attractive or rich or powerful. The Lord loves us because we are chosen by and loved by God. He chooses us, you, me, and we have life. Though marriages are getting more and more rare in our country, marriage is still, by and large, the measure of commitment in a relationship. Most religious wedding services contain words similar to these: for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish as long as we both shall live. Sounds good. And it is good when those vows are made with real commitment in mind. Unfortunately, they often aren't. One couple I married got into a fight at the reception. and he threw her hard enough at a wall to break through the wallboard. That marriage didn't last very long. Another wedding had the groom calling me up 3 days later and asking me to tear up the wedding license because they didn't want to be married anymore. Whew. And I did premarital counseling with them too. But the saddest divorces of all, I think, are the long-time married couples where one of the couples develop a serious illness. When it's the husband who's sick, 3% of the wives leave their husbands. Terrible, you think. But the expected divorce rate over that same time is 12%. So illness in a husband makes the wife stay connected to him. But when it is the wife who is sick, what do you think happens? 21% of the husbands will leave their wives, which is almost twice what is the expected amount. How are we men loving? We can do a better job, and we must. The church in the New Testament, we all gathered together in faith, are called the bride of Christ. Can you imagine Jesus looking at us and saying, "Well, I've changed my mind about you. I'm out of here." That's not the kind of love that Jesus has for us. Jesus says that the world will eventually know that I loved you in Revelation chapter 3. And he shows us the depth of that love. In John 15, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And then he calls us his friends. And the next day he dies for us. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, that's not true. Greater love has no one than this, that they die for their enemies." Well, that's what Jesus did too. While we were his enemies, he died for us. Because he loves us. That's love. Committed love. Biblical love. And the only way we can expect to have that kind of love is to put God's joy in us over every other relationship we have. We have to be a bridge passing God's love through our lives into the lives of others, including spouses, if we have them. Otherwise, we'll soon run out of love. So 30-some times laughter is mentioned in the Bible, and 653 times love. How do we have love? Well, I think we have to focus on God and the love that he has for us, the joy that God has over us. Joy is the second of the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to pour into us. God is a God of love. It says right in the scriptures that God is love. Well, God has joy over us. And that joy is mentioned 240 times in the Bible, God's joy and ours. Nowhere near the 653 of love, but a lot more than the 30-some times of laughter. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And I will say it again, rejoice. What is joy? Is it a synonym for happiness? For laughter? For just, this is a wonderful day? Is it a description of what might happen to you if the Steelers win today? We talk about bubbling with joy. Joy is an emotion, but can an emotion be commanded as we're really commanded to rejoice? There is a simple word that helps me to remember what joy is, and that word is enjoy. It's not the best of etymologies, but the word enjoy reminds me to put joy into my experiences, to let joy into my experiences, to, in my whole life, think of your favorite food. When you eat it, you enjoy it. You put it in you. I know a man who loves chicken wings, so spicy hot that when he eats them, he turns beet red and sweat pops out on his forehead and drips down his face. To me, that would be torture. But he enjoys it. What is that kind of joy like? The kind you get from your favorite food? Is it a shouting and jumping type joy? Well, maybe it would be for my friend. For some, perhaps. Do you remember that dog in the cartoon Quick Draw McGraw, who was always doing things, but only if he was bribed by a dog biscuit? They would throw him a dog biscuit and he'd go, and he'd jump up in the air, and he'd slowly float back down. I've never enjoyed food that much, but I have let joy bring contentment and peace into my meal, a satisfaction that lets me look at the world in a different way. Joy leaks into our lives from outside of our lives. In some small ways, it comes from our relationships with the things and people around us. But in the Bible, the ultimate source of joy is found in cultivating our relationship with God, in spending time with God, in seeking to obey God, seeking to love God with our whole hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When we do one or the other, we find it hard to experience joy. It wears down. But joy is the fruit of the Spirit that, in that illustration, points forward to the tree of life that all those who trust in Christ will enjoy in heaven. It is the fruit of the love of God. We want to have joy in our lives, and so we must cultivate our hearts with the excitement of being in God's presence, of finding out what God has done for us and what God calls us to do to others, of being in God's presence. And that can only happen when we realize that the joy that God has for us. Jesus said, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. There's a party. Do you think that there's a less of a celebration in heaven when we draw closer to the Lord in love and faithfulness? That's a gift that God longs to give us and that we can give everyone in heaven. What will you do this week to cultivate God's joy and God's love? Who will you serve in God's name? If you want God's joy, find someone to love with God's love and maybe share a laugh with them. Why not do it today? Amen. In your bulletin, you'll find the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. And I invite you, if you're comfortably able to stand, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To know that you are the one who supplies all of our needs. We thank you that you have supplied our needs so that we can give with hearts full of joy to your kingdom, so that you might use these gifts for the needs of others. Bless these gifts, Lord, and use them as your gifts in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was just thinking of a person told me this week that they came down here and sat for a while and prayed, and it was a great comfort to them. And then they went out on the prayer walk, and that was a blessing too. I'd encourage you to feel free to do that, even if the church building's locked. This isn't locked. If you need a place where, a special place where you can pray and thank God, cry out to God, you're always welcome here. Do you have any other stories that you would care to share with us of how you've seen God work this week? Yeah, why don't we sing the hymn? Thank you, Kathy. I think I told you before that whenever I did that, you were supposed to wave your hand and remind me. So that was just all that I just talked about, was an introduction to this hymn. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer. Let's sing to our God together. Of God, for God is the one who rescues us and provides for us. Would any of you care to share some of the ways you've seen God at work this week? Yes, Bert.
The type of work I do is outside, and all these past days have been so perfectly beautiful. Like, look at this today. And I wonder, you know, when the rain and the snow and the cold come and I'm forced inside and my job becomes more of a struggle than a joy, that I can appreciate still what I appreciate in this beautiful weather, because it makes me smile. It makes me joyful. It does both. But it's going to rain. It's going to snow. I'll be rushing around with tarps, covering things up. My arthritis will let me know that it's definitely there. But I'll put up with it. And I just hope that I can have the same joy then that I do now when this weather is so nice.
Thank you, Bert. Yes.
I had to go to the oncologist on Friday, and when I got there, she said, I'm sure this isn't what you're really going to hear, but she said, I think you'll be excited there was no cancer cells, but she said, we don't know why the blood work's all messed up, but she feels it's not anything real serious. She wants me to go back in like 6 weeks and have everything retested and stuff, but I just praise God for the answer to prayer, because I was so worried she was going to tell me they found some type of cancer. So.
Yes. Especially with that introduction. I know this is not
right,
what you're wanting
you
to hear.
Hear. And my heart just sank, because that's exactly what I thought she was going to say to me. But she said she went back as far as she could with all the lab work from way back, and she said she doesn't have an explanation, but she said she's pretty certain.
Now, Denise. Okay, I'm getting there. Denise just said that for those of you who are watching on Zoom, if you might not have heard that she got back results saying that there was no cancer available, or no cancer shown in her results. But there are other strange things with her blood work, but the doctor isn't concerned about that. So that's good. Thanks be to God. Do any of you have any joys and concerns you would care to share that we might pray for? Now, I'm going to ask you, I didn't intend to do this, but I didn't bring a pen up here, and I don't want any of you to give me a pen. Because I want you to listen to when people make a prayer request. And if one of those things are laid on your heart to pray for that prayer request, whether it's your own or someone else's. And because it's not just about the pastor doing it. It's about the church, the community of Christ. So, would you have anything that you would, any joys or concerns? Denise, you already gave us a joy. So, thank you.
I have a concern.
Yep.
After the service, would each person take one thing up to the front pew of the church? It would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. And what do we do with the pulpit?
Tim will take care of that.
Okay. Yeah, and Bert, I'm sure you just are anxious for people to point this out, but you made this, right?
No, God made it. I just tweaked it. God made it. I just tweaked it.
You tweaked it. But it is something from which the Word of God is proclaimed, and it's made in such a way that it'll be here longer than any of us. And God will continue to be glorified, just like God is glorified whenever we do something for us. It stretches out far beyond our ken, our lifetime. Yes, Kathy.
I have a joy. It's so wonderful to have Anne with us this morning. That was a surprise. And for those of you who don't know, her daughter is Luke's fiancée.
Oh,
that was a joy. And then I also heard from Jeannie this morning, and she asked that we please ask for powerful prayer to stop satanic worship.
Okay. Yeah, for those who are on Zoom, if you didn't hear, Anne is visiting with us today. Anne is the Luke's. Yeah, Luke's mother of Luke's fiancés, and I introduced her to Kathy, and I said, "Do you know Anne, Kathy?" And she says, "Well, yeah, we've known each other for a while." But Anne is also the director, teacher, whatever, of the music program that came in last week into our used our basement. They were going to be out here, but it was not good weather at that time. So we're glad you're here worshiping with us today. Well, thank you, Anne. Everything was set up beautifully for their attendance. Somebody did that. It wasn't me. So I suspect we probably know some people who did it. But it's always good when you have to get out more chairs. It's always good when you run out of bulletins, I say. So, anyone else? Yes, Bert.
Prayers for my son and daughter. My daughter is a joy. She's always full of joy, and she works hard and struggles to pay rent and to get her car fixed, and she's independent. And she remembers people and with cards. My son, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit takes an extra step and pushes him so he feels the push. Because I can't talk to him about the Holy Spirit. I don't think he believes in it.
Well, God is in charge of that. So we'll pray that God would work in his heart.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bert. Did I see? Yes. Ron?
It's just a joy to be out here on a day like today when it's absolutely perfect weather, not just to enjoy the service, but to hear all of God's creatures. It's very, very soothing and joyful.
Right. Yes,
Kathy. Finish your thought.
No.
There were four wild turkeys up here when we arrived to set up. They were a little early for the service, but it was kind of cool to see them up there.
Thank you, Kathy. And I'm not sure if you would have heard what Ron said, but he said it was a joy to be here on a beautiful, perfect day to hear God's word, but also hear God's creatures making lots of noise in the background that's beautiful as it all blends together. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have placed us here in this time and in this place so we might appreciate your love. We might appreciate your creativity and the hope that you give to us. Lord, thank you for all of the concerns and the joys that we've heard just now. And we ask that you would fill our lives with your joy and your love. Hear us as we pray to you.
Dear Lord, we thank you that Denise's tests came out in a positive way for her.
God, for all the blessings that you give us every day and the times that we forget to thank you and be grateful for what you've given us. And we thank you for Christian and we thank you for Carl. And we know, God, that they have a special place in your world, God. And we just ask that somebody might be able to reach out to Carl, God. And if it's not Bert and Nancy, Father, just send somebody along to really help them. And we just thank you, God, for all that you do for us every day. And we just ask that you would help us always remember how grateful we need to be. We thank you.
Lord, we thank you for the wholeness you bring into our lives. And we pray for wholeness in our community, in our world. We pray that you would continue to bind Satan's activities, that your victory would shine forth more, because we know that you're the victor and that you'll win in the end. Help us to remain faithful to you. We thank you for our church of which we're a part of, that we can be a blessing to our community. And we ask that we might even be a greater blessing, that we might love you in new and creative ways, that we might be a people who are open to serving others in ways that they can understand that they're being served and appreciated. Lord, thank you that you have served us in Christ, and may our love for you grow and blossom forever. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn is Now Thank We All Our God. Right now, as we go from this place, we can thank our God for what God has done and what God will do. Of the survey results and sharing your insights about the direction that the church should be going and where we are right now, what should stay the same and what should be changed. So you're needed for the body of Christ in that place. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to Jesus Christ. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.